Raised by Soundfest is coming Saturday, December 7th. Go to raisedbysoundfest.com for more information.
And I'm Natalie Van Gundy. Howdy, Memphis. Today is Tuesday, November 12th. The Center City Revenue Finance Corporation will consider refinancing for downtown's South Junction apartments. And the Downtown Memphis Commission is hosting two public meetings on its new design guidelines for downtown projects. Over in Cordova, there's a town hall meeting with Shelby County Commissioners Shantae Avon and David Bradford to discuss changes with the Shelby County Fire Department services for the area. Tamika Hart Wigginton, the founder of a consulting firm for nonprofits, has been tapped as the new president and CEO of the United Way of the Mid-South. She'll replace Kenneth S. Robinson, who is retiring after 10 years in the role. She got her start in philanthropy management while serving on the Memphis City Schools Board way back when it was still called Memphis City Schools. Soon, it might not just be the flamingos and hippos soaking up the sun at the Memphis Zoo. The Memphis City Council will consider an agreement with the Shelby County government today to install solar panels at the Memphis Zoo. Those panels would be used to provide electricity, but also for educational exhibits on solar power. Read more about that and a new city-county collab designed to help low-income Memphians in Bill Dries' City Council preview. A veteran's office is opening in the Bartlett Library today. At a Veterans Day ceremony in the suburb yesterday, the city's library director announced that a veteran's service officer would be stationed at the library 2 days each week. It's part of a larger plan to spread veteran service officers around the county. Mayor David Parsons also announced yesterday that the city is planning a fundraiser to refurbish Freeman Park's Veterans Monument, and he's trying to get Bartlett classified as Purple Heart City. Memphis Grizzlies star Ja Morant and Desmond Bane are both sitting out with week-to-week injuries. Bane with an oblique strain that's haunted him all season so far, and Morant with a pretty rough-sounding hip injury sustained last week. But so far, the team hasn't really needed their star players to win games. Our own Chris Harrington says that's a real tribute to full roster depth, system, and coaching. But we'll have to wait and see if it continues as the Grizz face a week of strong teams in the West. If you want a free arm workout and you've got a few hours to spare on Saturday, November 23rd, the Church of the Holy Communion needs some help bagging 40,000 pounds, a whole semi-truckload of sweet potatoes. The taters are being sorted into 10-pound bags, which will go to dozens of local nonprofits that help feed the hungry. Find more on these stories and others at dailymemphian.com.
From the concert halls to the juke joints, from churches to festivals in the fields, welcome to another episode of Bill Street Caravan, celebrating the sounds of Memphis for more than 20 years.
Heard around the globe on NPR Worldwide.
Hi, I'm your co-host, Thomas Cribbins.
And I'm Jared J.B. Boyd.
This week on Bill Street Caravan, we've got singer-songwriter Serena Wages live from the Overton Park Shell.
Grammy-nominated blues man Guy Davis will be joining us later with a segment of the Blues Hall of Fame, brought to you by the Blues Foundation. He'll explore the lives of the pioneers and innovators enshrined in the Blues Hall of Fame right here in Memphis, Tennessee.
That's all coming up on Bill Street Caravan.
What's up, Thomas?
What's up, JB?
This week, I'm super excited because we're spotlighting a powerhouse singer-songwriter who's doing her thing in the Americana space. Her name is Serena Wages.
Absolutely, JB. Serena is indeed a force, and she is doing her thing most definitely. Her music feels kind of like an emotional journey, man. It's rebellious and reflective all at the same time.
Yeah, you know, she's from Shelby Forest area. She brings a lot of flavor into the city and even a little bit of Nashville flair where she spent some time over the past couple of years.
Yeah, she doesn't make any apologies for spending significant time in Tennessee's two most musical cities. And we're thankful she uses both of those influences in her music.
You know, there's no question about that connection between Memphis and Nashville. There's quite a lot of stages to explore, quite a lot of studios to partner with, producers, other songwriters, and people who can generally give you good wisdom, good knowledge, but also some people who can knock you back on your behind a little bit with some tough lessons here and there. So we're lucky that Serena has been able to grab the best of both worlds.
That's right, JB, man. Speaking of top producers Serena has worked with, she just most recently worked with Matt Ross Spang, who himself is a Grammy-winning producer.
Yeah, you know, I was pulled into one of the sessions last year, and I was blown away by watching Serena, Pat Fusco on keyboards, and Matt Ross Spang sort of work out some overdubs and tweak some different pieces here and there to put the project together. And I'm extremely excited that after the project's come out, I've seen an incredible response to it.
Well, man, I'm sure Serena is building a reputation of unforgettable music. I'm just ecstatic that she's on this week's episode of Bill Street Caravan. So why don't we visit the Overton Park Shell and catch some Serena Wages live at their free concert series.
Oh, I released my first record this year. Recorded right here in Memphis, Tennessee, by Mr. Matt Rossbang, featuring my incredible cast of Memphis's finest gentlemen who are behind me tonight. My record is called Vanity Project. It's a true story, and this is the title track. Are you ready? Raised up in West Tennessee to wear a dress, keep the peace. Brother Ray yelled and I softly sing, hallelujah. A stranger said I could be a model at 14, too young to do what he did to me. Red bathing suit and sonic sweet tea. Sir, who hurt ya? Yeah. Record man had platinum plaques breathing down my neck when he said I'd sound better in a shorter dress. Write some hits, girl, trim the fat. Guess I'm silk flowers on your vanity. Is it my porcelain skin or my sanity? Just another man saying I'm a vanity project. Stay humble in a crop top, sing a safe song till the jack stops. Maybelline under my eyes and over my heart, and oh, be heard. Do I gotta scream? Get your validation. Do I gotta bleed? Oh, then they just say that I'm. Oh, he says that I'm silk flowers. Oh, your vanity. Is it my porcelain?
I've dreamed of one thing my entire life, and it's doing things like this. Thank you to the Overton Shell for supporting your local Memphis homegrown artists who are writing their own music and trying to hustle at this thing. It means a lot to me, and it doesn't go unnoticed by any of these people on the stage. These are all songs that I wrote, most of them with Joe Restivo on guitar, right here in Memphis. It's our story, it's true, it's honest, it's a little bit rebellious, it's a little gritty. Sometimes it's, I don't know, a little funny. But this song is called Heartbreaker. I wrote this while I was living in downtown Memphis, walking my dog along the Mississippi River, listening to a track made by Landon Moore. So this is on the record. I hope you'll go buy it if you haven't yet gotten your hands on some vinyl. Here we go.
Listen to Serena Wages live from the Overton Park Shell here on Bill Street Caravan.
We'll be back with more music from her in just a bit. Up next, Grammy-nominated blues man Guy Davis brings us the latest installment of the Blues Hall of Fame, exploring the lives of the legends enshrined in Memphis. This segment is brought to you by the Blues Foundation, and you can catch it as a standalone podcast through Apple Podcasts.
Big Bill Brunzi glanced around the crowded Union Hall. He saw every guitar picker and piano player from every tavern on the south side of Chicago except one. Looked like everybody brought a bottle. Washboard Sam sidled up to Bill and said, "You know you could beat that woman playing, and anybody in here know and you the best guitar picker around. Bill just shook his head. I don't know about that, he said. Memphis Minnie can make a guitar speak. She can make it cry. She can make it moan. She can make it whistle. Maybe she won't show, Washboard Sam winked. Tampa Red jumped on stage and shouted through the mic. Y'all know the rules. Our finalists each get two songs to sway this illustrious panel of judges, including Sleepy John Estes, Sonny Boy Williamson, and myself. The crowd roared and hoisted their bottles high. Grand prize, Tampa Red yelled. 1/5 Gordon's gin. And you know what our friends at Fortune magazine said. This stuff only goes into martinis and Negroes. The crowd booed, hissed, and laughed as Tampa continued. And 1/5 black gold whiskey. If you're too fancy to drink from the bottle, the cap makes a fine goblet, ladies and gentlemen. First up, Mr. William Brunzi, known to us friends as Big Bill.
Hollin'. I feel like crying. I feel so bad, baby Lord, I just feel like dying.
While Big Bill played, she started to move through the crowd from the back of the hall toward the stage. She caught Bill's eye like a shooting star, gleaming in a river of dark suits. She wore a bracelet as big as a shield with a new silver dollar stuck in it. She carried her guitar, a chrome resonator. Her gold tooth sparkled and her eyes shined. But where the long red fingernails should have glimmered, Bill saw worn, calloused picking fingers. He was in for a fight. Big Bill shut his eyes to look deep in song. Everyone cheered until Tampa Red called Minnie up. Minnie stood there in her gown and high heels, looking the whole place in the eye. She puffed out her cheek and spat a brown jet of tobacco and tore into her song.
I'm a bad luck woman. I'm a bad luck woman. Can't be the reason why.
Memphis Minnie didn't need a second number to beat Big Bill. The house rocked. People in the crowd bowed at her feet and reached up to squeeze her hand. Sleepy John and Sonny Boy hoisted her up on their shoulders and carried her around the hall like a champion until they came face to face with Kansas Joe, Minnie's husband. Put her down, Joe said. She can walk. Sleepy John and Sonny Boy set Minnie on the floor. Joe picked up her wrist and led her toward the exit. Minnie stopped and looked back for her prize. The bottles had disappeared. She turned back and noticed the collar of Joe's long underwear peeking out from the top of his shirt. She plucked off a piece of scarlet thread and wrapped it around her finger.
I'd rather be the devil, oh, rather be the devil. Be the one my life.
At dawn, they lay in bed. Joe snored with his heavy arm across Minnie. She stared at the ceiling and thought of Beale Street. Minnie remembered a conjure woman named Ready Money. Back then, Minnie was working in a house on 3rd Street. Ready Money had a booth around the corner in Church's Park. Black magic interested Minnie. She wanted to learn witchcraft, but Ready Money refused Minnie's cash. Minnie could still hear the old conjure woman say, "No, baby. Women out here for themselves got to help each other." Ready Money said that the real power of conjure came not from the spell, but from the belief in the spell, the fear that it would work. The mind took care of the rest. Ready Money made sure to be seen sprinkling goofer dust around someone's house. That was when Minnie met Joe. Their bond wasn't exactly magical. He got her off 3rd Street and into music full time, though. He didn't hate her for hustling. "I'm just hitting a lick," Minnie told Joe. "I'd do the same thing if I could," he said with his sly smile. They made beautiful music together, no doubt. Joe got Minnie on records, and together they got out of the South to a cold water flat in Chicago. Still, Joe was a man and Minnie was a woman. She had to play behind.
If it keeps on raining, love is going to
under a man on 3rd Street or behind him on Record felt about the same. Now, many didn't care if Joe lost his nature, and no magic could force him to leave Chicago. It wasn't personal. She'd come as far as Joe could get her. Memphis Minnie wanted to keep going. Lying beside Joe, she repeated Ready Money's spells in her mind. Minnie pushed Joe's arm up and wiggled down out of the bed. He slumped back on the pillow. She needed just one more thing from him, a hair long enough to intertwine with one of her own. Joe's face was clean, his head was neatly barbered, his chest bare. Minnie had no other choice. She slipped her cold nail clippers into the dark and snipped. A minute later, she stood in the kitchen. She plucked one hair from her head, twisted her hair and Joe's hair together like a braid. Minnie tore a piece of brown paper bag from Joe's wine bottle. With a black ink pen, she wrote Joe's name on the brown paper 7 times. She took a red ink pen and wrote the spell over Joe's name 7 times as she muttered the incantation, "Love me or die, love me or die, love me or die." Minnie balled the brown paper around the 2 hairs and carried the packet over to the sink. She dribbled 7 drops from a bottle of Hoyt's cologne onto the brown paper. Ready Money echoed, "Keep it wet until the son of a bitch act right or go." Minnie moistened the brown paper ball with her own urine. Minnie wrapped the red thread she pulled off Joe's long johns around the wet packet. She bent down without a sound and placed it under Joe's side of the bed. He snored.
"Now look at hoodoo, lady. I want you to treat me right. Bring my man back home, but don't let him stay all night. And don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me. Don't put that thing on me, 'cause I'm going back to Tennessee.
Two mornings later, Minnie came home from the market. In the one-room flat, their guitars leaned against the wall, Joe's acoustic and Minnie's silver resonator. The L thundered past, blacking the gray daylight from the window and shaking the glass. She saw Joe standing beside the bed, still in his long johns. He held something red in his hand. He looked up. "Devilment," he barked. He threw down the jack ball, and the brown paper splattered wet on the hardwood floor. "I'll take you back to 3rd Street," Joe said. "Get you hustling again. Work this devilment off your hands." Minnie smiled her gold-toothed grin and said, "Love me or die, Joe."
"Wants to see my chauffeur. Wants to see my chauffeur. I wants him to drive me. I wants him to drive me downtown."
Joe just let her go. Years went by. Langston Hughes wrote a poem about her. Hard and strong, he called her. Didn't mention a thing about Kansas Joe. On a stormy winter morning, 10 souls gathered around a hole in the ground to bid Joe farewell. Big Bill stood there like he did on that night long ago at the Musicians' Hall. "That's a bad luck woman," said Big Bill to another mourner. "Blows in like a breeze to cut my ass, but leaves us wondering by her old husband's grave. Stole the show again."
Thanks for listening to the Blues Hall of Fame podcast, brought to you by the Blues Foundation. The Blues Hall of Fame podcast is produced by Beale Street Caravan for the Blues Foundation, written by Preston Lauterbach and voiced by Guy Davis.
For more information on the Blues Foundation, go to blues.org. Caravan has brought the sounds of Memphis to public radio airwaves for more than 20 years. And now you can see what we've been talking about. Check out our series of digital shorts through our website or go to ilistentomemphis.com.
I Listen to Memphis is about Memphis music today, the people who make it, and the places and culture that fuel it. ilistentomemphis.com. Bill Street Caravan is supported by awards from Memphis Travel and Tennessee Arts Commission. We're back, and if you're just tuning in, we're listening to the amazing Serena Wages live from the Overton Park Shell in the heart of Memphis, Tennessee.
That's right, JB, and Serena's music is all about connecting with her roots while she still carves out a space that's entirely her own. But let's focus a little bit more on her artistic sense and her voice, which is what she is promoting and presenting. JB, how do you feel about Serena's singing voice, man?
Well, you know, I hesitate to use this word, but she's got a smoky quality to her voice, where a lot of singer-songwriters might flourish a bit more in the alto and soprano range. Serena's almost a tenor with the way that she approaches her songs, and I find it to be extremely timely and refreshing and unique. She's got great control of her voice, and she also emotes on a level that brings out her songwriting, where you can truly appreciate the lyricism. And with this record, I think that her band stepped it up heavily, and it translates live as well.
Awesome, man. She mentioned Joe Restivo and Pat Fusco as some of her bandmates, and they're working hand-in-hand with Serena and have worked with her, and we're getting the fruitful results of these collaborations.
Yeah, so why don't we jump back into this monumentous occasion. Here's Serena Wages live in Memphis here on Bill Street Caravan.
This is the first song on the record. It's called Are We Allowed to Fall in Love?
Like the first scene in a movie at a cafe in East Memphis, you arrove a little early, I arrove a little nervous. Hi, it's nice to see you. Have I always known you? Do you believe in God or war? Or we're lost in conversation. Your face looks like Matt Damon. All my plans are rearranging. You say that you're too old for me. Well, honey, I'm too wild for you, but that you bought me for the dinner party. Throw your
Someone's waiting for you.
song about an unlikely love story. It's called Wes Anderson Love Story.
Forever.
All right, we're here on Bill Street Caravan with a very good friend of mine, Serena Wages. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm just beaming to have you here in the land of the caravan.
Well, you look good, too.
Oh, wow. You're looking coming sharp. From you, that means
so quite stylish.
A lot. Since you compliment me on my fashion, I'm going to go ahead and say you are quite the fashion star yourself. What inspires your visual presentation? Because you have been killing it.
Well, you know, I love style. I don't know anything about fashion.
Okay.
I really enjoy style as a very important part of self-expression for myself. I was telling somebody recently, I think it was seventh grade, I was going to school out in Rosemark area, and it was like the week before Spirit Week, right? Where you have like Tacky Day and all the themed days or whatever. So it was the week before that, and I showed up to middle school wearing my usual, but like with a little extra flair, which was like a skirt like this over my jeans, and then like a tank top over a shirt with my Vans, you know? And they called me into the principal's office and they were like, baby, tacky day is next week. You got to like change that. And I was like, no, I know. This is just what I wear. And they were like, oh, that's not allowed. But ever since I was a kid, it was just like, I would go through seasons of just wanting to like uncover some new weird part of myself. And I would sort of dress up as this little thing for a while and try it out and then try something else later. So I don't know. It's just like, I'm very sensitive, and how I feel on the inside is how I like to kind of show up externally. So I think that's come out too in just the visual representation of the record that we put out this year. And it's just fun. It's a big part of the art for me.
We're going to dig into your story, and I'm going to ask some questions that I should know the answer to, but we're introducing you to a whole universe of Bill Street Caravan fans. You are born and raised right outside of Memphis, Tennessee. Tell me a bit more about your upbringing in this area.
Millington. I was born and raised there. My dad was born and raised there as well. He's an attorney there. He always fought for the sort of the underdog, and he was the judge. And I grew up two older brothers out there in the country near Shelby Forest area, and big musical family. No one ever pursued it professionally, but my dad is incredibly artistic. My mother is a wonderful pianist and singer, and my brothers both went off to art school in New York City, and we were all just kind of these weird creative kids. But that Shelby Forest feeling, which to me is also a sound, right? It's that like Memphis country, is that soulful country. That was an influence on me just as a human being, and then now in my music as well. But like, there's no better place in the world to be from than Memphis, but particularly the country just outside of it. It's just like, was so magical growing up there.
What made you tap into your creativity at a level that you knew you wanted to make that leap and really make this the essence of your profession?
It wasn't so much that I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to be a storyteller. And singing was the vessel for that, you know, as a young girl, just a deep feeler, deep thinker who needed to get it out. And so, yeah, it wasn't until my late 20s that I could go, oh God, I just got so much going on inside here. It cannot exist just in here. I have to be able to release it into something and let it live outside of my body. So I think that's been sort of the subconscious calling that's brought me back to this time and time again, you know?
This new record, I mean, you've really dug in into yourself, your songwriting craft. I know it took some time to put the pieces together. Tell me a bit about the personnel and the spirit of collaboration, because I sat in on some of these sessions, and I mean, y'all were a well-oiled machine in the studio.
So Matt Ross Spain produced this record, and I've been a fan of his for a long time, but he wasn't a friend until we got to work together. Joe Restivo, who I met when I first moved back to Memphis and started writing with, is who introduced me finally to Matt, just to see if he'd dig the songs. We went in and just played him a couple songs acoustic, and he really did dig the songs. And he listened, and he heard particular lines, and he made comments about particular ways that I'd said things, and I liked him instantly. I felt safe with him. I trusted him, and that was a big part of it, personally and creatively, to feel that way with the person that I was going to make this record with. And so anyways, yeah, it took a second to get it all together. We didn't even know we were making a record. I didn't even have a full record written. But we made it over a couple years, and I'm so proud of it, and also so glad that it exists after a lot of years of trying to get there. So,
one thing that really struck me about the performance that we're revisiting today at the Overton Park Shell was the legion of young ladies, young women who were in awe of you, standing in front of the stage, looking up at you with bright, wide eyes. Maybe they see themselves in your space someday, or maybe you've captured or enlightened something in them that will charge their curiosity towards another path I mean, how did it feel standing up on that stage and seeing all of those young girls looking up at you? I mean, you've got a fan club all to yourself.
That completely blew my mind and was so fun and beautiful and interesting to take in because, you know, a lot of my songs are written about the female experience and the trials and tribulations that come along with that, particularly here in the South. And to see young girls, maybe even if they're not aware of the messaging yet, to see them kind of singing the words and getting it, it felt like purposeful and really fruitful and fun. I love the spectacle of a superstar. And so to try to embody this larger than life type persona and see if it energizes someone to embody that larger than life sense in themselves as well. It was really, really cool. I hope that they listen to the words one day and like start to sort of take in that perspective and partner it with their own experience and their own perspective. It was the coolest thing ever.
We appreciate you being present here with us on Beale Street Caravan, Serena Wages.
What a treat.
Thank you.
Y'all are awesome. Thanks for having me.
Here's Serena Wages, live in Memphis, here on Beale Street Caravan.
Songs, they start to sound the same. Urban cowboys, all with two first names. Concrete walls and parking lots. Busy people, pretty faces, money in the bank. Everybody want to be a star. Oh, yeah. In the city you can see the stars. So 40 miles to Memphis again. Why? to show me how to love again. 'Cause I lost myself chasing promises, and I've been trying to get back.